This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, you're going to get to meet Eileen Gittens. Eileen is the founder and CEO of Blurb, which is an on-demand publishing platform. It lets you create your own book. And I'm going to tell you the story about how I met Eileen and why I think what she's doing is so interesting. There's a backstory. But before I get into that, I want to tell you about two things. The first thing I want to let you know is that I went to the Affiliate Summit. And you know that a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Dr. Robert Cialdini. Bob Cialdini is the person who wrote the book Influence, all about persuasion. And he was the keynote at Affiliate Summit. And he did a marvelous job talking about how you use influence and persuasion, what you would call psycholinguistics, the words you use to persuade and influence people, especially in the time of a down economy. That was what his keynote was about. And I promised you that I would blog about it. And I did. I blogged his whole speech for you. So you can go to the Dishy Mix blog and read that. And I brought back with me the giveaway that he gave out after the keynote. He gave out these pocket cards with the 6 rules of ethical influence on them. And I have 15 pocket cards to give away to Dishy Mix fans. All you have to do is go to the Facebook fan page, dishymixfan.com, takes you right there, and post your request, and I'll snail mail one of the wallet cards out to you. And if you haven't listened to the Cialdini interview on Dishy Mix, I highly recommend you do it. It's great for marketing, for copywriting, and it's really great. It's just in your life, how to be a more persuasive and influential person. So let me give you that. I also want to dedicate this episode of Dishy Mix to Jody Milam. Jody is a dear friend of mine that just passed away this weekend, and she was a recruiter that worked for me a dozen years ago at Excited Home. She was the best recruiter. She hired the most fabulous sales and marketing people for me, and I just want to send her my love out into the world with this great interview with another powerful woman that I think is terrific. So let's bring her on the show. Eileen Gittens, welcome to Dishy Mix.
I am delighted to be here, Susan. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, we met because I moderated a panel at the Girls in Technology Catalyst Conference, and you were a panelist, and we hit it off. I was just really impressed with your story of Blurb and what you're doing there, and fascinated by the changing book publishing landscape. That backstory, I want to tell you that backstory, too. I don't know if I told you this, Eileen, but I was talking to my friend Jay Berkowitz, and I was talking to him about the fact that I have 2 books, Talk Show Tips and Masterful Interviews, and they're information products. They're fully downloadable books. They're not in physical form. And I was saying to him, you know, hey, maybe I should call Wiley, because I think his book was published by, you know, maybe I should call a book publisher and see if they want to make it into a, you know, a tangible book. And he said, don't do it. Go to Blurb or go someplace and create your own books yourself and make your own tangible goods. They'll be cheaper than what you can buy from the publisher. And you're not going to sell them anyway. You're going to give them away to get your speak ops and things. And they do nothing for you anymore. You should just make your own book. And then about a week later, Eileen, I meet you. And I was already fascinated by this whole world. So fill our listeners in on Blurb. It's a beautiful website, a beautiful concept. Just tell them what you do.
Sure. Delighted to. So Blurb, as you mentioned, is a creative publishing platform. So we typically see 2 kinds of books. The first kind are the kind you just referenced, which are more informational. We call them word e-books, you know, text e-books. But the other kind are highly illustrated in photography, art, cookbook, your blog book, pictures, artwork, all those kinds of books you can design and create using Blurb. You can make 1 copy if you want, buy 1. You can buy lots. We enable you to even sell them on our site at blurb.com if you wish. And to your point, Susan, about, you know, what publishers do for you these days, your friend is right. Unfortunately, mainstream publishers just, they're kind of in the blockbuster business now. You know, they have to put all their money behind the next Stephen King novel. And so first-time authors or authors who haven't sold a ton of books don't get a lot of marketing dollars. Additionally, however, the publishers typically take a pretty hefty slice of that retail price. So with Blurb, you keep 100% of the profits. That's our model.
Give me some of the numbers on Blurb. I know that in 2008, you had revenues approaching $30 million.
Yeah.
How'd you do in 2009?
Yeah, significantly better than that, in excess of $45 million.
Congratulations.
Which is amazing given the economic times that we live in that we did so well. We ended up shipping more than, I think, 1,200,000 books around the world to 72 countries. So, it you know, it's really kind of amazing to me, too, that it's taken off as much as it has. And I think the reason for that is it really captures people's passions. You know, whether you're doing your business book like you've done, you know, your domain expertise book, you're still passionate about your topic, even though it's kind of a business book. The same can be said if it's your cookbook or your vacation book, or better yet, your family history or your baby book. Those things are really, you know, to take a lesson out of, I guess it is MasterCard, it's priceless. It, you know what? It is priceless. To have a book like that, it's priceless.
So I know that you are so nice to give two of our Dishy Mix fans a free book. You're going to give them up to $39.95. That includes a book and usually will cover the shipping of a typical book. And thank you for that. That's really nice of you.
Listen, you know, our pleasure, number one, because number two, we get the vast majority of our business through word of mouth. People, when they get their books back, they are so amazed. It's truly an oh my God moment that they immediately go out and tell everyone they've ever met, including their third grade teacher. So our job is just to give as many people as possible that experience, because that's how we get the word out about the company.
So when you make a book in Blurb, are you paying $39.95 for each copy, or is there a setup fee? Explain how it works from a consumer's perspective.
Sure. So here's how it works. There are two ways you can make a book using Blurb. The first is we have free software. It works on either a Mac or a PC, and you can download it from blurb.com. There's a big button right on the homepage. It's super simple. And the cool thing about that is for the 99% of the universe, including me, who are not book designers, it's got all the templates and layouts and all that great stuff all dialed in for you. So you just kind of drag and drop your pictures in or cut and paste your text or whatever. It's got a full text engine, the whole works. Now, if you are a designer, you can also use tools like InDesign from Adobe. We have templates that are made for them, too. They're also free. And then you would upload a PDF. In either case, you make your book, you upload it to blurb.com in one simple step, and then basically you can buy one book or as many as you would like. In fact, you don't even have to pay anything until you decide you want to print a copy. And so when you decide you want to print one, you upload it, and you can order as little as one copy, as I mentioned. Now, for a wordy book, you know, a soft cover book, you know, with a color cover and text inside, you know, like a novel, those start at literally $4.95 for a copy of one, and they're based on page count. Color books start as little as $12.95 for a copy of one. And, of course, like anything, the more copies you buy, you know, at 10 copies of the same title, we give you 10% off and so on and so forth. And the way it works is you order a book, you place your order, you give us your credit card or your PayPal, you place the order, and guess what? Your book arrives back at your doorstep in about a week. As I mentioned before, if you want to, but you don't have to, if you want to, you can make it public in the Blurb bookstore. You can set your own price for that book. Let's just say, hypothetically, you made a book where the unit of one cost is $15, and you think the world is going to beat a path to your door for that book for $25. Literally, we would send you $10 every time somebody bought a copy of your book. That's how it works.
Now, can you self-publish on Blurb and then put it in other places? Like, can you put your Blurb books in Amazon?
Sure. You can get, you know, the ISBN number?
Which yes.
So we've got instructions on our site for how to get an ISBN if you want to do that, and how to get it on the back of your book. You're more than welcome to do that. The challenge with retailers, whether it's Amazon or a physical retailer, is they typically take a pretty hefty percentage of the book cost, of the retail price, in order to market that for you.
How much?
Well, it depends. Anywhere from usually at the lowish end with Amazon, about 35%. And it can go up from there for a physical retailer. It can easily be 50%. So the economics get pretty pricey for the author. Now, on the other hand, let me say this. We have many, many customers who put their books on Blurb. They also post them to Amazon, but when they have an opportunity to drive people to a location, they drive them to Blurb because they make, you know, 10 times the amount of money on the book at Blurb as they do somewhere else. But the sort of the credential, right, of having your book also distributed by a big name bookstore, a Barnes & Noble or an Amazon, is very valuable to a lot of people, and we appreciate that. So we tell you how to do it.
There are other book creator sites like Lulu, as an example. Who are the other book creator sites, and then how do you differentiate your niche?
Yeah, there. So what started to happen several years ago, you may remember the term vanity press.
Sure.
Sure. So that was, honestly, that was kind of an icky business, where you asked earlier about a setup fee. There were people, and frankly, there still are. So for all your audience, buyer beware here. There are people out there who want to make a lot of money off of your setup fees and will promise you the sun, moon, and the stars about how many copies you're going to sell. And basically what ends up happening is you write a big check and you end up with a few hundred copies of your book in your garage, which is not very happy. Then along came the internet in a real way, and companies like Lulu, and I'll give them credit here, they said, you know what, there's got to be a more upfront way to do business here. Why don't we create a bookstore at lulu.com, and we will charge somebody 25% of the retail price in order to sell their book, right? Not some exorbitant amount of money, and we won't charge them an exorbitant setup fee. So that tends to be Lulu's model. They take a percentage of every book that's sold, and they don't charge you big upfront fees. They tend to be very focused on the author, what we call the author market, which are people who write books. Blurb's books, for the most part, although we see many, many of those books, believe me, the vast majority of our books are color. They tend to be photography books of some kind, or illustration or artwork, the team school book, you know, the drama club, on the personal book side. And then on the business side, this is the fastest area of growth for Blurb, which is very different than the other sites. And that is because the fidelity of our, and the quality, honestly, of our books is so high, brands are using books now as highly personalized marketing communications pieces. So Lexus does books with Blurb, Pixar does books, Disney does books, Toyota does books. I could go on. There are many, many. Microsoft, you know, does books. Adobe is even doing a book using Blurb. So that is a big and growing piece of our business, where those companies are not interested to sell the books at all. To your point earlier, Susan, where you talked about giving them away, yeah, those are marketing pieces. They're actually a cost for them. So our business model is not predicated on the commercial sale of books at all. We make money on the printing side, which gives us a lot more latitude to you know, not have to make money from the resale of every book. So that means, you know, if you want to do your book about your fourth grade class and there's, you know, five whole copies that ever got purchased, woohoo! We think that's fantastic because we make money on the print side, even on a book of one.
Got it. That makes sense. So I want to go to a break. And when we come back, I want to keep going on Blurb, different categories of books, some of the popular categories, things that you think are great potential that people haven't quite discovered yet. I want to talk also about you giving us tips to really create a successful book on Blurb, things that we wouldn't maybe figure out ourselves that you've learned. And then I want to talk about a little bit about your path to getting Blurb funded, because I heard you say that you pitched 80 VCs, and I want to find out more about that. So we're going to go to a break to thank my sponsor, and when we come back, we'll find out the answers to that. If you would like to be one of the two people who gets a free book from Eileen, a Blurb book, just go to DishyMixFan.com. That's my Facebook fan page. Post your desire, and we'll select two people and make sure you get the promo code. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Susan Bratton, author of the Talk Show Tips System. If you're a podcaster, information product marketer, blogger, radio, or TV host, and you conduct interviews, Talk Show Tips can turn your audience into raving fans who promote your work for you. Talk Show Tips 72 Secret Master Host Techniques teaches you how to prepare and produce riveting interviews. And learn how to promote your work with free social influence marketing strategies. Want to know how to effortlessly generate killer questions for your next interview? Get my free Easy Question Generator mini course today at talkshowtips.com. We're back with Eileen Gittins, the CEO of Blurb. And before we left, we were talking about making books. So what I want to know first are what the different categories of books are that are self-published. You talked about wordy and illustrated, but I bet there are other kind of categories within there that you think about that are popular. And then which ones that you think, God, why aren't people doing this? Because we aren't thinking of it. Tell us that too.
Sure. So the big popular category, we kind of think of our audience as three parts. Part one are personal books. And within personal books, these are books that are really created to share with friends and family, colleagues, and maybe even just for your own self-expression. So in that group can be anything from your poetry, maybe even your bad poetry book, but to something you've always wanted to publish, to your blog. I know that you have a blog, Susan. We see a number of bloggers, we have tools that will automatically slurp, if you can believe it, slurp your blog into a book right before your very eyes. So we see blog books. We see cookbooks. So, and we see a lot of family cookbooks, which is very cool.
Oh, I love that.
It's very cool because you kind of get the story. You talked about backstory a while ago. Those are the best. When people talk about, oh, this dish was, you know, at my Aunt Edna's house every Christmas for as long as I can remember, and you kind of really get that family sense. They're often also illustrated with pictures of the family, not necessarily pictures of the dish. We see, so those are some really popular book types. And, of course, baby books, you know, children, you know, family vacation books, those kinds of things. The next category that I would like to call out, we see a number of these books, but, boy, I think there's a big opportunity here. And that is books as fundraising vehicles. So, a while ago, the Jimmy Carter Foundation Global Health Initiative did a book, and they were doing clinics in Africa, and they photographed these beautiful outcome, right? So instead of a depressing book, it was beautiful. They sent it to the people who had donated funds as a thank you. And as I understand it from them, it became a vehicle for additional fundraising, because people were so delighted with the results of the dollars that they had donated that apparently they opened up their checkbooks once again. So that happens now, and we are doing more and more of those kinds of fundraisers. Right now we're doing two that I know of for Haitian earthquake relief. One is a cookbook in Canada with a television personality, actually, like on their food network up there. She's got a big following, and she's doing this cookbook, and she's donating 100% of the proceeds to the charity. Occasionally, Blurb can also contribute, maybe not quite a matching contribution, but depending on the project, we have also been known to contribute to a cause. So that is a fantastic platform because we do it all. All the cause needs to do is create one book. Their cost on it is the cost of a single book. And then they can just put it in the bookstore and publicize it. When you make a book, we automatically generate like a little widget, a little advert, online advert. So if you have a blog or a website, you can just put that little badge on your site. And when people click on it, it automatically takes them to the bookstore, your bookstore hosted at Blurb, where those people can buy a copy of the book. So again, if your book costs $25, but you think, you know, it's a fundraiser and you want to charge, I don't know, $50, literally $25 from every book sale would go to the cause. So that's a big shout out for everybody who's really trying to volunteer and do some good work. It turns out books are a really wonderful platform for that. And then the final one I'll mention is the one I mentioned before, and that is, wow, were we thrilled when the folks at Pixar sent through their book about the making of the Up movie, because we had all gone to go see it as a treat in the company. And to see, you know, the work in progress in the background, the making of, and the celebration of all those people who worked so diligently on the film, they will have that book for the rest of their lives. And they will remember who they were when. And that's just a really, really wonderful memory piece. So all of those are all great applications for Blurb.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me then three tips that are counterintuitive that create a successful book using your technology and your system, or optimize the scenario for us.
Sure. So number one, when you're making a photo book, which a lot of people start out with, and it's great, right? I mean, the photographs these days with digital cameras are so fantastic. But I encourage people to please, please, please add some captions, a little bit of text. A great book is one that does not need the book creator standing over the shoulder of the person who's reading the book to understand the context or the importance. That is a photo album. A photo album is just a collection of pictures. A book tells a story. So think about organizing your pictures in a narrative arc, and think about using even just a teensy bit of text. It makes the world of difference. So that's number one. Number two is we all take a bunch of images of the same subject because we're not sure which one is going to look the best. When you bring your pictures into Blurb to drag and drop them, try to do your homework before you even bring them in, because then you're not staring at five pictures that all look the same. Pick one, pick a few, edit them first, and then bring in that folder of pictures into Blurb, and your bookmaking will be a dream come true. So that's number two. And then number three is, don't be daunted by the first one. We talk to professional photographers all the time. In fact, creative professionals are really our number one market, whether you're an architect or a designer or a photographer, et cetera. And folks, we all aspire to perfection. Well, you know what? Treat that first book as a little test. I mean, for less than the cost of a pizza, you can make a little test book. You can have the experience. You can get it back. You can look at it and say, okay, now I know what I want to do. So those are my three.
I love that. I love how you said it. It's less than the cost of a piece of pizza. You're a good saleswoman, Eileen. Make a test. That's good. All right. So I also, you made a book with Steve Hall. Probably most of my listeners know Steve Hall from AdRants. He is the gadabout that goes to every event that we do. And I loved the idea. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was one of the most, if not the most fun project we did last year. So we were sitting around here at Blurb. We're in San Francisco, and a bunch of us are, you know, have come from design and art backgrounds. And we're thinking, okay, how do we reach art directors and creative directors around the world so that they can really appreciate what this medium can do for them? Because we used to think about a book as a thing you buy at the bookstore. Well, now a book can be anything. It can be a client deliverable. It can be your portfolio book. It can be your brochureware. You know, it can be anything, right? So it could be the making of the brand. So we thought, well, how are we going to approach these people so that they feel that we get it, you know, that they feel that we're them, we get it, and we're not selling them. So we talked to Steve because of AdRants, and we said, what do you think about this idea? And the idea was, could we invite people from all over the world to submit to Steve, Steve would be the curator, their best killed idea. So something that they worked on, and for whatever reason, budget or change of regime or time of the year or whatever, it never saw the light of day. It ended up on the cutting room floor. And could we structure the submissions in a way where you could submit stills from a video, say from a television, you know, broadcast piece, or from print media, it didn't matter, or it could even be packaging for a product, and give us the little blurb, honestly, on, you know, what the product was or what the pitch was, what the intention was, and why it didn't get there. And then Steve, and this was the brilliant part, because Steve added his own mojo as a little editorial comment for each one of the killed ideas, and as to why he selected it in the compendium. So there were maybe 200 or so killed ideas that went into this first volume. He edited it. We worked with a book designer who is an agency friend of ours, actually, to design the book. And then we sent it out to about 400 creative directors around the world, just, you know, with a little letter that says, hey, wanted to celebrate your work. This is awesome stuff. You know, check it out. Hope to see you in volume two, Your Friends at Blurb.
It's a great idea. I have to get a copy of that book.
It's awesome. I will be sure to send you one, Susan.
I'd love one.
Very
Thank
cool.
you.
Yeah.
You kissed a lot of frogs before you met your princes.
Yeah.
Did you really pitch your idea to 80 venture capitalists, or was that a little expanded number?
Well, that was a little hyperbole.
Okay.
But you know what? It took me almost a year to get financed. So, I mean, and I took a lot of meetings. I honestly don't think I have count, but it really seriously was at least 30 firms, probably more. And the reason why it took so long was, first of all, at the time, this was 2000 and really late 2004, 2005, and the industry was just coming out.
Just coming out, yeah.
Just coming out. It was really early days. And the second thing was, and this was the more critical factor, it was a very contrarian idea at the time. Everything was going online, if you remember.
Yeah, and you wanted to go offline.
I know, completely crazy.
You tangible girl, you.
I know. And they all looked at me like, gee, you're smart and everything, and we like you, Eileen, but this is insane.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of...
Yeah, this is when Flickr was going crazy, and everybody was uploading all their photos.
Totally, yeah. And the blogosphere.
But you saw ahead, because you knew you were a photographer, and you wanted picture books.
I did. I knew that going online was fabulous, but that meant that there were mountains of digital content that were being created, and surely some of that would want to find its way into a tangible form to be shared for whatever reason.
How many iPhoto books do you think people are making through Apple?
Oh, I have no idea.
Is it big?
I honestly don't know because, as you know, Apple doesn't split out.
I know.
What's
your gut?
Oh, I don't think they're big as we are.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because that's who I've always used. Now, till I met you. Right? And what I'm going to do is the next time I make a book, I'm going to make the exact thing on Blurb that I make on iPhoto, and I'm going to compare them.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. I'm going to look at the two and just see which, you know, how they come out.
Yeah. Listen, fingers, toes, and eyes crossed. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I will. You know, when we were doing the panel also at Girls in Technology Conference, you and the other panelists were all coming up with this common thread. I was hearing something that all of you were saying in different ways, and we talked about it, and that was offline. Not just that your product creates tangible goods, but that a lot of your marketing, your most successful marketing, comes from some of the real world activities that you do. And so much of the time on Dishy Mix and with marketers today, we're thinking about how we can leverage social media and buy advertising on Facebook and whatever we're doing. Tell us about the offline marketing and programs that you're doing that you think are giving you some incremental advantage.
Yes, it's really true. In fact, we joke around the office that offline is the new online. And what we mean by that is, of course, for your audience, we all know that the scale opportunity with social media and online is enormous, right? It just is. But we found offline to be an amplifier of the connections we make online. I'll give you an example. So we do another, we had another program 2 years ago called Photography Book Now, and we thought, well, why don't we have a competition? I mean, if for the first time in history you could make any kind of book you wanted as a photographer, complete creative control, nobody standing over your shoulder saying, oh, that won't sell, or you can't put that on the cover, what would you make? So we invited people from around the world. They all submitted, blah, 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 fabulous, thousands of submissions. And then we thought, well, they're books, for God's sakes. We have to go on tour. You know, we have to show people, you know, these books and have some meetups or some parties. Well, everywhere we went, literally, it was sellout crowds. I mean, we literally turned people away at the door. The fire marshal would come and get us. And what we realized from this is how hungry people are for social, physical connections in the real world. And when you have something to rally around, like a book, some work, some common denominator, people turn out because they just really, really, really want that social connection. So we learned this about books. Obviously, books are physical products and live in the tangible world, and so that helps. But the real message for us was, I mean, we went on tour with Flickr. Flickr became one of our largest business partners. And I toured with them all over the world. I mean, Berlin, Milan, I mean, fabulous places. And everywhere for Flickr, people turned out physically in droves. And so I took away something very important from that, which is it's a community. It really is a community of people who share a common passion. And at the end of the day, it is all about that passion. And there's nothing like meeting people in person to really turbocharge those connections. Now when I travel, or any of the managers here at Blurb Travel, we try to send out word that, hey, I'd like to meet up with 10 or 12 people in the city, wherever we're going to be. Let's go have dinner. And the amplification effect of that is unbelievable.
Nice. And you're a big blogger on your site, too. You do a lot of blog posts, don't you?
I do. And I also am blogging now for HuffPo, for Huffington
Post. Right,
Post.
I saw that. Yeah.
So that's scary because, you better sound smart there. Not that you don't want to sound smart on your own site, but it's like, oh, Lord.
The pressure's on.
Oh, my God.
I don't think you have any problem with that. So last question, and thank you so much for everything you've done so far on the show. If we, myself, one of my listeners, all of my listeners, could do one thing to help vault Blurb to the next level of success, what would you like us to do for you? Is there anything?
Yes, there is. I'd like every single one of you to make a book.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah,
two of you free, the rest of you come and pay.
Yeah, every single one, make a book, because the rest will happen. Because if history is our guide, the joy, the experience of receiving that first book that you authored, that you made with your name on the cover, is a transformational experience. And when that happens, people just naturally want to talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you that they are, and we will do that. We're all going to do that for you. And I love giving away photo books to my elderly family members. They love that more than anything. They love the pictures. For me, like you, we're both photographers. I love to make meaning in my life through the photos of the experiences that I've had. And I see my father-in-law's face light up when I know that when he gets that book in the mail that I've sent, he spends the whole afternoon just poring over it, you know?
I'll share one very brief tidbit with you. The second or third book I made after I started the company was a family book, and I went over to my dad's house and raided his photography drawers and scanned slides and, you know, made this book. Sent it off to, I'm one of four siblings, sent it to the siblings, sent a copy to my dad. Of course, they all think, you know, I should win the Pulitzer Prize, right, because this is so fabulous. Well, ratchet forward, you know, 3 or 4 years, and sadly, my father has early-stage Alzheimer's now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is.
It's awful.
And in fact, some days are better than others, but here's the lemonade out of the lemons. That book that I made 3 years ago, yeah, I bring that with me now when I go to see him, because there are days when his long-term memory is all there, and he took all those pictures.
Mm.
So he remembers that. And for any of your listeners who are suffering with a family member where it's almost impossible to have a conversation because they cannot remember what you said 2 minutes ago, if you make a book that has some family memories in them for them, you can have a fresh conversation every single time you go to visit, because many times they won't remember that they've previously seen the book.
That is a great idea. And have you heard of Scan Cafe?
Yes.
Okay, so I found out about them on NPR. I donated and got that thing, and I've been going through bins of old photos and stuffing them into my Scan Cafe box to send them off to them so they can scan all that stuff in.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great service. Have you used that?
Yes, in fact, the CEO of Scan Cafe is coming over to see us I think later this week.
Yeah, that's a match made in heaven with you two.
Yeah. Yeah, I met up with him somewhere else recently, and we said, oh, God, we should get together.
Yeah. Yeah, you should do a biz dev deal with them.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love it. Well, Eileen, you have a great company. I'm glad you kissed all those frogs and found your princes who could launch this great idea. We're all going to go get a book, except for two people who are going to get one for free when they go to Dishy McSpan and post their desire. It's been great to meet you in real life and on Dishy Mix. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, truly.
All right. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. I hope you'll go make your Blurb book and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.